This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hszc.org.
I'd like to begin my talk, as I always do, by thanking and acknowledging my teacher, Sojourn Mel Weitzman Roshi, the abbot of Berkeley Zen Center, and to remind you and me, this talk is just to encourage you in your practice. I was also very much want to thank Hojo-san, Myo Roshi, for inviting me and for taking care of the practice in this temple, and all of you who take care of the practice in this temple. This is a lovely place to practice, and my association with Isanji and Myo goes back a ways. I could say even starting with getting to know Isan Dorsey when I first came to San Francisco Zen Center in 1975. I like to say he was one of three people who actually smiled at me, acknowledged my existence, reached out to me, which was meaningful to me, and believe it or not, I was painfully shy. Yes, I was a very, very shy 19-year-old. It just goes to show that things change. and then when I first came to Tassajara in 2000, Myo-san was our tanto. So I kind of imprinted on him how to be a tanto, because now I've been doing it for the past 7.5 years, which, by the way, makes me the record holder. I seem to be kind of proud of that. I don't know why, just, who knows, maybe I'm stuck. There is nothing stuck in the whole universe. But Myo's zeal and scrupulousness and kindness were and are what I aspire to being a tanto, being tanto Tassajara. So it's very meaningful to me. And then back in the summer of 2008, Zen Center was temporarily loss for who's going to be tanto at Tassajara for that guest season for that summer, and they thought, well, Myo knows how to be tanto at Tassajara, maybe we can ask them. And the board of Hartford Street said, well, we could do that, but how are we going to take care of the practice at Hartford Street? And we came up with this arrangement that the city center could send some practice leaders to Hartford Street while Myo was in Tassajara. And I was one of those lucky ones. And I really, really enjoyed coming here and practicing here during that time. It was a little over a month that I was so privileged to do that in 2008 while I was living at City Center and the treasurer, CFO at City Center. I would come here and sit. I really enjoyed this morning walking from City Center to Harper Street in my robes, in shashu, nice roughly half hour walk. It's fun. But back then, I kept a set of ropes here and I rode my bike. So, yeah. Anyway, it's good to be back. Thank you very much. The title of this talk is The Wood of No Name. At Tassajara right now, we are in our 100th practice period. Pretty significant. Triple digits now. It's being led by Abbot Myo's Honshi, or root teacher, Tenshin Reb Anderson Roshi. And it's very settled, very peaceful feeling. It's a full Zendo. About 20 Tongariro monks. That means, you know, 20 people having their first experience of Tassajara practice period. And it's going well. It's going great. And may I say, the weather is beautiful. The weather is beautiful. About a week ago, we had our board retreat, and the San Francisco Zen Center Board of Directors and the abbots, also on the board, come up to Tassajara for the weekend. And that was it was very pleasant to host them. And the weather was just was and is kind of perfect. No flies, not too hot, not too cold, sort of beautiful Mediterranean temperature and clear skies, and so quiet because it's practice period. Of course, Tassajara is always quiet. I mean, we don't have sirens or traffic noise. Maybe the occasional jet going overhead, but basically in the middle of the wilderness is pretty quiet. But guest season, by contrast, is kind of a lot of activity, you know, guest season in the summer. And then when we go, we're cloistered right now. We're cloistered. Oh, I should say, the reason I'm here, the reason I'm able to be here is because my wife, Linda Gallion, said yes to being the president of San Francisco Zen Center, and now she lives in City Center. Or I could say we said yes, and we agreed that it made sense for me to continue as Tanto at Tassajara, that that would be better for Tassajara, and certainly the board and the abbots think that Linda being president is best for San Francisco Zen Center, and I do agree. So we made this arrangement whereby she comes to Tassajara 5 days a month, and I come to the city 5 days a month at a minimum. Some things don't count, like she came down for the board retreat. That didn't count. That was not part of our 5 days. So this is all elaborated, and I do mean elaborated, in a two-page single-space document that we came up with, and the board and the abbots signed off on. So that's why I'm here right now. Because, yes, it's a cloistered practice period. What am I doing out of the monastery? That's what I'm doing out of the monastery. And it seems to be working out well. It's almost a year now that we've been doing this. So anyway, there I was, Tassajara, saying hello to the board, smiling, welcoming people, as is my practice. And I saw Abbess Linda Roof Cutts, and gave me a big smile, and I said, "These are halcyon days. These are halcyon days." And she said, she just gave me a funny look, said, "Halcyon days." And what does that word mean? And I thought, well, to be honest, I'm not sure. My parents had big vocabulary. both my mother and father were well educated and prided themselves on their vocabulary, and they liked to use big words with the kids. And that's just a word I picked up. And I said, well, I think it means like the best of all possible days, something like that. Of course, then I had to look it up, and it means peaceful, at peace. Halcyon means peaceful, peaceful. In practice period, in Japanese, what we're doing right now, the practice period, in Japanese we call ango, which means peaceful abiding. Peaceful abiding. And it is very very peaceful in Dasara right now. One thing that happens when guest season ends and it's just some 40 to 60-ish monks wearing black robes in silence most of the time, it's a big change. And in the wilderness, you feel it. Especially between guest season and practice period, we have work period, when there's hammers and saws and power tools and people driving here and there, and that's really the most activity, the most hubbub and noise, and everybody's talking all the time. We don't have silent bath time. We don't have silence during meals, but pretty much at night, yes. But work period is like a hive of activity for about 3 weeks in the spring and 2 weeks in the fall. So between the end of fall work period and beginning of the practice period, I remember one year walked out to the flats during Tongariro. The new monks are just sitting, super quiet. I'm out there in the flats and this bobcat comes walking up, looks at me, and says, "It's cool now, right?" No, he didn't actually talk. But right now, last winter, we had a lot of rain. You had the same atmospheric rivers that we did. Maybe in Tassahara, maybe it's a little more unmediated. Feels maybe a little closer to nature. We are. Made the mountains very lush. So the population of deer boomed. The deer were fertile based on how much food there was to eat. So we got a lot of deer. And then now that it's practice period, they come wandering in. And like, "Oh, you seem reasonable now. You're quiet. Black robe monks. It's like, cool." And you see them everywhere. Down in the near the lower garden. They can't get in the lower garden. Got that well fenced, but still all around. There's tasty things to eat all around Tassahara. It's very tempting. And they're not tame. They're far from tame, but they are like, "Oh, well, this is cool. This seems like this could be okay." And sometimes I'll stop and I'll make eye contact with the deer, and sometimes I tease them. I go like, "Hey, big ears." And I don't want them to be too tame, but they're just like, it's like pretty casual. And the last time Linda Galleon was down in Tassahara visiting me, the practice period had begun, and we were both noting this phenomenon, and she said, "Oh, it's kind of like in Alice Through the Looking Glass." And I was like, "What?" She said, "Yeah, there's this episode in Alice Through the Looking Glass." And I was like, "I remember. I've read both of those books. Lewis Carroll, he wrote these two children's books. I'm sure you're familiar with them. The first is Alice's Adventures in Wonderland." Sometimes I think it was originally published as Alice's Adventures Underground. And then there was a sequel called Alice Through the Looking Glass. And when Alice goes through the looking glass world, when she goes through the looking glass into the looking glass world, she meets the chess pieces that she was playing with that have all come to life, and she meets the Red Queen. Maybe this is familiar to you, maybe not. It doesn't matter so much. Anyway, the Red Queen says she has to go across this chessboard, which is the looking glass world. And if she successfully crosses the chessboard as a pawn, she's a pawn. If she gets to the end, if you know the rules of chess, that means you get promoted to be a queen. And spoiler alert, that's what happens. But as she's crossing the Looking Glass world, she goes through these, you know, the chessboard is laid out as white and black squares, right? So she's entering one of these black squares. It's called the Wood of No Name. It's in chapter 3. I looked it up. And when she enters into that, she says, "This must be the wood," she said thoughtfully to herself, "where things have no names. I wonder what will become of my name when I go in. I shouldn't like to lose it at all, because they'd have to give me another, and it would be almost certain to be an ugly one. But then the fun would be trying to find the creature that had got my old name. That's just like the advertisements, you know, when people lose dogs. Answers to the name of Dash, had on a brass collar. Just fancy calling everything you met Alice, till one of them answered. Only they wouldn't answer at all if they were wise." She was rambling on in this way when she reached the wood. It looked very cool and shady. "Well, at any rate, it's a great comfort," she said, as she stepped under the trees, "after being so hot, to get into the..." Into what? She went on, rather surprised at not being able to think of the word. "I mean, to get under this, you know," putting her hand on the trunk of the tree. "What does it call itself, I wonder? I do believe it's got no name. Why, to be sure, it hasn't." She stood silent for a minute, thinking. Then she suddenly began again. "Then it really has happened, after all. And now, who am I? I will remember. If I can, I'm determined to do it." But being determined didn't help much, and all she could say, after a great deal of puzzling, was, "L. I know it begins with L." Just then, a fawn came wandering by. It looked at Alice with its large, gentle eyes, but didn't seem at all frightened. Here then, Alice said, as she held out her hand and tried to stroke it, but it only started back a little, and then stood looking at her again. "What do you call yourself?" the fawn said at last. Such a soft, sweet voice it had. "I wish I knew," thought poor Alice. She answered rather sadly, "Nothing, just now." "Think again," it said. "That won't do." Alice thought, but nothing came of it. "Please, would you tell me what you call yourself?" she said timidly. "I think that might help a little." "I'll tell you, if you'll move a little further on," the fawn said. I can't remember here." So they walked on together through the wood, Alice with her arms clasped lovingly round the soft neck of the fawn, till they came out into another open field. And here the fawn gave a sudden bound into the air and shook itself free from Alice's arms. "I'm a fawn," it cried out in a voice of delight. "And dear me, you're a human child." A sudden look of alarm came into its beautiful brown eyes, and in another moment, it had darted away at full speed. It was really delightful to have Linda mention this story to me, and to Zenist that I am, think of it in terms of our practice. The ancient Chinese Chan teachings, like the harmony of difference and equality, and Teacher Dongshan's five ranks, often speak of the dark and the light. The dark is the absolute, and the light is the relative. So stepping into the dark square on the chessboard, stepping into the wood of no name, Alice and the fawn forget who they are. They still completely are who they are, but they forget momentarily. And they're at peace. Alice is like, oh, it's so cool and pleasant in here. And there's no fear. She puts her arms around the fawn's neck and walks on with it. How sweet that is. So, I think it's very important to be able to do that, to be able to step into the wood of no name from time to time, so we don't get caught by our naming, we don't get caught by mere designation, as Teacher Vasubandhu says. Nothing wrong with designation. The fawn is the fawn and Alice is Alice. Should be clear about that. But we should also take advantage when we can to step into the wood of no name. Now, because I was talking to Linda Ruth about the Halcyon days, and because Linda Ruth loves a good story, I had to look up the word Halcyon. And it's very interesting. That also relates to my talk. It comes from Greek mythology, the myth of Alcyone. Alcyone and her lover, Ceyx, I have no idea how to pronounce his name, were a happy young couple, and maybe a little foolish, because in their love, in their affection for each other, they had pet names for each other. They called each other Zeus and Hera. That annoyed Zeus, and a classic move, he throws a thunderbolt at them. I'm like, Zeus, gah, thunderbolt, Zeus, poof. Okay, you know, he's really thin-skinned, that Zeus, thin-skinned dude. And then later on, anyway, there's different versions of the story, but later on they get changed into kingfishers. Actually, in kingfisher, its Latin name is genus Halcyon. So the demigoddess Halcyone and Ceyx, they get changed into kingfishers. And here I'm just going to read Wikipedia. Ovid and Hyginus also make the metamorphosis the origin of the etymology for Halcyon days, the 7 days in winter when storms never occur. They state that these were originally the 14 days each year, 7 days on either side of the shortest day of the year, during which Alcyone, as a kingfisher, laid her eggs and made her nest on the beach, and during which her father Aeolus, god of the winds, restrained the winds and calmed the waves so she could do so in safety. The phrase has since come to refer to any peaceful time. Its proper meaning, however, is that of a lucky break or a bright interval set in the midst of adversity, just as the days of calm and mild weather are set in the height of winter for the sake of the kingfisher's egg laying. So, I'm very aware of how pleasant it is to be in Tazara right now. And I am very aware and grateful for the opportunity to practice in that way. And I am very aware, as we all are very aware, of the storms in the world, literal storms, hurricanes, the fires in Santa Rosa, and the fires in DC, and the fires of greed, hate, and delusion, and the storms, contention, and misunderstanding. So I see that the Halcyon day as an absolute must. There's a must. We need to find a peaceful time. We need to be able to find peace and stability in the midst of and between the storms of the world. or we will lose our way. My friend, Father Cyprian Consiglio, is prior at the New Camaldoli Benedictine Hermitage in Big Sur. Apparently I'm the prior at Tassajara. That's what's said on the reader board out there. I like that. Okay, I'm going to use that. I'm prior. And Father Cyprian is prior at New Camaldoli. He's kind of the youngster because he's in his late 50s, and most of the monks there are in their 70s. I would say the mean age, average age, is in the 70s. And Cyprian's great. And when he was installed as prior, he gave a homily. I was there. I was invited to come and support him. And he gave this homily that really touched me. He said in there, and I found a transcript of it. I'm so happy. This is the part that really touched me. He says, "The reason I think there will always be a place for the purely contemplative life is this. We are one body, the body that is the human race. And a conservative guess would say probably 90% of the body is active almost all the time. And so some part of the body has to be contemplative to give it some equilibrium. My friend John likes to quote Thich Nhat Hanh, who says that when the boat is rocking on a stormy sea, someone in the boat needs to sit still. That's our job, to sit still." Oh, no wonder that resonated with me. To sit still in the stormy sea. You know, you need not go to a remote mountain monastery like Tassajara or New Camaldoli to sit still. A couple of days ago, I was sitting Zazen in Tassajara. This morning, I was sitting Zazen in City Center. A little while ago, I was sitting Zazen in Hartford Street. When I used to live here, I used to go to San Quentin State Prison every Sunday. I'd sit Zazen there. Zazen, 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 Zazen. Zazen is Zazen. Go ahead, give me an argument. Zazen is Zazen. That's all. Here's a little Zen paradox for you. If I thought that it was somehow better to sit Zazen at Tassajara, that I thought it was somehow better to practice at Tassajara, I would not be there. I would leave, actually. The location of the remote mountain monastery is right here behind the breastbone. We always have the capacity to enter the wood of no name, to choose freedom. Choose to let go, if only for a little while, to let go of designation, names. It can quickly lead to name calling and just be at peace, if only for a little while, to find in our lives, find our own halcyon days or halcyon minutes, No? Don't they say 1 minute of Zazen is 1 minute of Buddha? I've heard that said. Anyway, the important thing is that we choose it. The important thing is we keep practicing. I was admiring the reader board and the print that Jeff made with the quote from Teacher Dogen's Pendowa. Although this inconceivable Dharma is abundant in each person, it is not actualized without practice. It is not experienced without realization. So it's up to us. It's up to us to practice if we want to choose peace, if we want to choose a happy life. We can take the opportunity to enter the wood of no name from time to time. I thank you very much for your kind attention. How's that, Mio? Well, it was over half an hour.
Just right.
Just right. Maybe there's time for a question or two. Yes, I don't know your name.
Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Hi. When is Zazen not Zazen?
When is Zazen not Zazen? Well, if you're just sitting on your cushion, spacing out, Zazen may not be Zazen. And, at the same time, I don't necessarily believe in my subjective experience. So I think the most important thing is to come to Harper Street Zen Center and find the cushion and sit down and face the wall. Then let Zazen be Zazen. And maybe you might have an experience of, oh, I'm spacing out. I don't think this is Zazen. Okay. My teacher, Sojin Roshi, somebody once asked him, when you sit Zazen, what do you think about? And he said,
I'm not telling you, right?
What?
I'm not telling you, right?
No. He said, anyway, on this occasion, he said, when I sit Zazen, I give myself Zazen instruction. Yeah. So, that's in the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path, you know, Samyak Sati, or in Sanskrit, Smriti, which is a word I learned from Tanto Myo when he was Tanto. It's a fun word, Smriti in Sanskrit, it's fun to say. It means mindfulness or remembering. So, you know, you remind yourself of what you're doing. That's all. Whether it's Zazen or not, it's like, there's a lot of trust in my practice, I will say. I think Zazen is essentially trustworthy. I think the most important thing is to get to Harford Street Zen Center when the period begins, and sit down, find your cushion, sit down, face the wall, and let Zazen sit Zazen. That's what Suzuki Roshi said. It's a big mistake to think that you can sit Zazen. Zazen sits Zazen. So just let that happen. And if it feels like, hey, what? You know, then remind yourself, oh, how's my posture? How's my mudra? Am I connecting with my breath? Are my eyes open? Give yourself Zazen instruction. So I don't know if that answered your question or not. But that's my take on it, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe so.